Book of Acts, chapter 25, start reading from verse 1.
Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him, and desired favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered, that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him.
Amen. Now here we see Felix, the governor before this Festus, kept Paul a couple of years in prison. And we learned last week, he wanted some kind of bribe from him. Paul didn't give it to him. Finally, his term was over. Now this is the new governor. Now when this new governor came, as soon as he came, he went to visit Jerusalem. And he stayed there almost 10 days. And while he was there, the word of God says, verse 2, the high priest and the chiefs informed him against Paul. Now, this man knew a little bit about Paul, but the chief priest and the high priest and all other Jewish people came to this Festus and tried to say many bad things about Paul. Not true, but the lie. And then they said, you know, we have one request. We have one desire. Give us a favor. We want Paul to be brought back from Caesarea to Jerusalem. And why they were saying, here he's saying, they were saying like this because they wanted to hide somewhere. And so they wanted to destroy the Paul, kill the Paul. So they are trying to brainwash this new governor and telling him, please bring Saul or Paul to Jerusalem and judge Paul here. What the Festus says. He answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, that he himself would depart shortly thither. He means what? Festus says, I'm going back to Caesarea. I'm not bringing Paul to Jerusalem. I'm going back there. So what he's trying to say, read that verse 5 one more time.
Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him.
Now what he's trying to say, if you want to come with me, come to Caesarea and accuse him whatever you want to accuse him, whatever the evil things he has done. Come with me. So now he was preparing people to bring them to Caesarea. And see what happens. Verse 6.
And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended anything at all.
Okay, now these people came from Jerusalem. Now they are in the court. Court of Caesarea, that's a Roman court. And they stood around Paul and start accusing him that this man is a bad man. But Paul stood there and start answering them. He says, I didn't do anything wrong against the law. I didn't do anything wrong against the temple. And I didn't do any wrong against the Caesar, means the government. And I did not offend anyone, or I did not do anything wrong. So what he's trying to say, can you prove what I did wrong? Let's read verse 9.
But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me?
Now, see what this Festus playing a game. When he goes to Jerusalem, tells the Jewish people, I cannot bring Paul here. You have to go to Caesarea. When they came here, now he's telling Paul, Paul, would you like to go back to Jerusalem to judge? And why he's saying? Because he wanted to please the Jewish people, to make them happy. And what they wanted, first of all, he said, no, I cannot bring him here. But now he changes his mind and he's asked the Paul, would you like to go back to Jerusalem? Now Paul is very smart person. He knew what God told him. God told him, you witness about me in Jerusalem. Now you're going to go to Rome and witness about me. So he was thinking, I'm not going to go back to Jerusalem. So see what Paul is saying.
Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar.
Now see what Paul is saying. I am standing in the judgment seat of the Caesar or the Roman government. I did not do anything wrong to anyone. And he says, Festus means governor, you know that already. That means he is trying to say, you know I did not do anything wrong. You know that I'm innocent. Then why are you sending me back to Jerusalem? And then he's saying, I'm not afraid of dying. But he said, I don't want to die like a fool. Didn't do anything wrong and just go there and get killed. He said, I did not do anything wrong. And so I want right judgment. Let's read this verse one more time.
I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death. I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar.
What he's trying to say? If I didn't do anything wrong, no man can accuse me and no man can send me back to Jerusalem. Can you imagine how much boldness he has standing in front of the governor and he's saying, no man means you have no power to send me either. That's what he's saying. No man has power to send me back to Jerusalem. I'm not going to go. Because he says, now I am going to appeal unto Caesar. He's saying, you think you am going to go to Jerusalem because you said it? You have no power. I'm going to appeal to the higher court. Caesar means I'm going to appeal to the Roman government. I'm going to appeal to the higher court. So he said, I'm not afraid of you and I'm not afraid of any man and you cannot send me there. I want to go to Rome. Let's read verse 12.
Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go.
Okay. Now he says, okay. What I'm going to do, he got to some kind of council meeting and asked all the counselors, now Paul wants to go to Caesar, or means Rome, what should we do? And everybody agreed, let him go. This man is a Roman citizen. You cannot try him in Jerusalem. No Hebrews or Jewish people or priest or chief priest or anyone can judge him. Because he's a Roman citizen and he has to go to Rome. And so they decided, comes back to the Paul and he said, okay, Paul, you ask, you want to go to Rome, you will go to Rome. And that's what judgment he gave. Verse 13.
And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus.
Okay, now, when the Festus was a new governor, so Agrippa, the king, he comes to greet the Festus. Say, how are you, sir? Congratulations for your new job. And he wanted to just make Festus happy. And I was thinking, who is this Bernice? Now Bernice, his simple name is given, but when I start thinking about Bernice and I learn a little bit about her, this Agrippa who came to see the Festus, he's the Agrippa the second. Agrippa, first one who killed the James the Apostle. Now this, his son Agrippa, the second was a little bit nicer to the Jewish people. He was not killing Jewish people. And Bernice was the eldest daughter of the first Agrippa the king. Now this lady was married to the Marcus. And now when she stayed with him once, with a brother, lived like a husband and wife, went back and got with another man, comes back again, and now stays with Agrippa, the brother. Now can you imagine, now Bernice, this is a wicked lady. If you know the name of the person, then you should not be naming your children. But some people do not know, so they just name the person. She was a wicked lady, living in sin, and living with her own brother like a husband and wife. Now the Agrippa comes to greet the Festus, the governor. And let's read the verse 14.
And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, there is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him.
Okay. Now he's trying to tell the story to the Agrippa, the king, and Bernice. I have one man in the prison. Let me tell you what happened to this man. He was in Jerusalem and they wanted to kill him. So we brought him here. I went back to Jerusalem. I talked to those people. They also came and they said, we want this man to come back to Jerusalem. But Paul says, I want to go to Rome. So he says, I want to take your opinion. Listen to the man and give me your opinion, what you think about this person. Let's read verse 16.
To whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him.
Okay, now he is trying to give his opinion to the Agrippa. He says, you know, I don't think it's fair a Roman citizen could send to Jerusalem and the Jerusalem people, Jewish people can, you know, accuse him or judge him without giving the man proper chance to defend himself, and then people can come face to face and try to accuse him and make him guilty. And then we'll find out real this person is guilty or not. So that's what the problem is right now with me. Verse 17.
Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth. Against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed. but had certain questions against him of their own superstition and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive.
Okay, now he says, I gave the judgment, I gave them chance, they came from Jerusalem, stood at the court, talked to me, tried to accuse Paul. I could not find any problem. Only problem they were saying, Paul is saying Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ is not dead. And that's the only thing Paul is accused for. And so he says, I don't understand. How can we judge somebody just because this man saying Jesus is not dead, he's alive? Okay, verse 20.
And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters.
Okay, so now he's saying, when these people came to me and start saying, he is saying something against about our religion. But you remember Paul said, I am Pharisee, and Pharisees are believing in resurrection. Pharisee believes in angels. Pharisee believes in religious matter. So he already convinced some of the Pharisees that I am Pharisees and I believe Jesus Christ spoke to me and I believe that he's risen. And so Pharisees were a little bit not too hard on Paul. So he says, this is what they are talking about and I don't know how to give the judgment to him. So verse 21.
But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept so I might send him to Caesar.
Okay. Now he's saying, why I'm keeping him here? I would have sent him back to Jerusalem. He's not guilty about sending to Jerusalem. Those people cannot even judge him because it's a religious matter. Now, I thought when Paul is asking me that I want to go to Rome, that's why I kept him here. And that's what the reason Paul is here. Okay. Verse 22.
Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him.
Okay. Now the Agrippa was very eager to hear the Paul. And I believe the Bernice also was there to hear. So now they are waiting and he said, tomorrow we will bring the Paul and he will testify in front of you. You gather whatever he says and then give me some kind of counsel. Give me some kind of idea. What should I do with Paul? That's what his idea was. Okay, verse 23.
And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing, with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus's commandment, Paul was brought forth.
Okay, now you can see, King Agrippa comes, Bernice comes, and they might have thought, maybe she's a queen, so people give her good respect, and they come, and they're waiting for Paul to come and listen. And so, sometimes people look at you outwardly and see how you dress, what your clothes and things like that. And according to that, they say, oh, this person looks like a highly educated and very good. You have seen sometimes these prisoners, when they go for judgment, you know, they give them a good suit to wear. They never wear the suit in their life. But they will give them suit when they were sitting there in front of judge. And so to look good, look nice and decent person. Same way, this Agrippa and the Bernice sitting there on the throne like a very dignified people. But inside of them, what they were? Rotten people. Sinful people. And so, but we cannot judge the person from outwardly. The Word of God says God looks at the heart, Amen. Not outside. Outside you can wear the king's clothes, but inside you will be wretched, sinful man. That's what it is. So we have to change our heart. And once heart is changed, the clothes will change automatically. You cannot say somebody, change your clothes, change your appearance, until that person is changed from inside. When the person is changed from inside, then everything changes. So God changes us inside out, not outside in, inside out. Jesus comes in, and then he changes us, and then our outward appearance looks better. Okay, verse 24. Okay.
And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer.
Now he's saying, Agrippa, I am puzzled here. Jewish people in Jerusalem and Jewish people in Caesarea, all the people, not one or two, how many? Multitudes of people, the Jewish people, they are coming and telling me and crying and, you know, begging me, we should kill the Saul or you should kill the Paul. And that's what their cry is. They are begging me to destroy this man. Verse 25.
But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself hath appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him.
Okay. Now he already decided. He said, I found this man. I checked his record. Because, you know, police or the governors or the accusers, they, if they are really true people, they will check everything if this person is guilty or not. They are not going to take somebody's word and make somebody guilty. They are going to do research. They are going to find out. But here, in some countries, the money talks. If you give some money to somebody, they will make lie truth and truth lie. But in the sight of God, nobody can change lie to truth and truth to lie, because God is the righteous judge. You cannot bribe Jesus. You cannot bribe God. You cannot say, God, you know how I work for you. The word of God says, I know your deeds. I know your works. But what you are a wretched sinner. You cannot bribe God with what you did, what kind of works you did. The word of God says, your works are what? Filthy rags in the sight of God. God is not looking how many charitable work you did and what kind of good person you are. He's going to look at you. Did you ask forgiveness for your sins? Did you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Did you humble yourself and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I cannot live without you? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So once the person knows the plan of salvation, what God has done to redeem the mankind, and you realize that I am a sinner and I need a savior. People do not like if you call them a sinner. He said, who are you to call me sinner? I would say, sir, if you do not admit that you are a sinner, you cannot get saved. First of all, you have to realize that I am a sinner. Then you can have the Savior. If you are not a sinner, what Jesus Christ said, I have not come for the righteous people. I have come for the sinner. I am seeking the sinners. And then he gives the example. He says, only sick people needs the doctor. What does it mean? He says, if you are spiritually sick, that I am your doctor. But actually, you know what the Bible says? The lady who had the issue of blood, she went to every doctor in the town. Did she get better? No. she became worse. I said, Pastor Peter, you are against doctors. I'm not against doctors. There are good doctors and there are bad doctors. There are good medicines and there are bad medicines. But I'm just saying, why don't we go to Jesus Christ? Jesus is the best doctor in town. And the Mary heart is what? The best medicine in town. The word of God says Mary heart makes like a best medicine. How the Mary heart comes? Mary heart will not come if you are, you know, grouchy. You always fight. If you learn about the word of God, when Jesus Christ comes in you, what happens? The love of God comes in your heart. When the love starts taking control of your heart, then you are going to love the Lord, you are going to love the neighbors, you are going to love the people, and you are going to be calmed down. That's why I am telling you, if you get so much angry and you cannot control, go on your knees and pray. Take your Bible and read, or take some songs and start singing. I want to see how you're going to do something wrong. Or take a Bible in your hand. Can you take a Bible in your hand and one knife in your hand? No, you can't. Because the Word of God will take control of you. Tell the people, could you go and pray before you do anything wrong? And if that person starts praying, his mind will change. Let the change happen inside of us. Okay, let's go verse 26.
Of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore, I have brought him forth before you, especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write.
He said, you know, even I'm a governor, I have authority to write anything. I can send him to Jerusalem, I can send him to Rome, but in Rome, with the king sitting there, he's going to ask me, what did you find out about this man? Why are you sending this man to me? And I have to have some answer. And I'm puzzled. I do not find any wrongdoing in this man. So I want your opinion. So I want something to write about. So please help me. And as the Paul gives his testimony, listen carefully, so together we can make a decision. Verse 27.
For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him.
Right, so he's saying, I cannot send a prisoner there, so Agrippa, agree with me. Now, this much we talked. Agrippa is sitting there, Bernice is sitting there, Festus sitting there, and all other people are there, and now Paul has to give the speech. But today, in this chapter, he's not speaking anything. We have to wait next week to listen what Paul is preaching. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, you are the great judge, and you are a righteous judge. You can see us inside out. We cannot hide anything from you. You are a righteous judge. Be with us, sanctify us, use us for the glory of God. And Lord, give us grace like a Saint Paul. Be bold, be strong, and be courageous in front of the enemies. Because your word says if they ask you anything about your salvation, you should have the answer for the unbelievers. How you got saved? Why you got saved? So give us grace to know more about Jesus. So we will have the confidence to tell somebody who Jesus is and why we believe in Jesus. Protect us from all the dangers and harms. Give us grace to be witness in this neighborhood as well as around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.